بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Introduce Taravi, the ayat of the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةً. Just imagine, look at the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. In this world, we don't get to see Allah Ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala invites us to look at His Qudrat. You look at His Qudrat and you get an understanding of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. مِن بَيْنِ فَرْثِهُمْ وَدَمْ. That animal is eating one food. Generally, it's of the land, right? So between the dung and the blood, نُسْقِيكُمْ مِمَّا فِي بُطُونِهِ مِنْ بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ. A pure liquid milk is issued. But I look at it, one layer is blood, one layer is dung. The dung is right at the bottom, and the blood is above, and in between is going the milk. The milk is not affected with the blood or with the dung. You don't see the color of the dung, nor do you see the color of the blood. So who is doing this? It's eating one food. The food is green, and then what's coming out is something totally different. And then how it's channeled, what passages, how it's coming through. Do you see and try and understand, appreciate the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? Then أوحى ربك إلى النحل. Then you hear about the honeybee, right? There's so much of science in this small little animal. Such a small little insect, but what Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. It's mind-boggling when you see the things functioning. It's like an entire kingdom that's being run. There's a queen that is appointed to be the governor and the head of the entire place, right? The entire hive is a queen. So she is in charge, fully responsible. Between 10 days to 12 days, she is laying approximately 70,000 eggs. Right. As she is appointed as the queen, then she is fed with royal jelly. And then her size just not doubles, trebles or quadruples. Size so much. And then from that point, she just remains stuck onto her hive. But isn't that a lesson for us? For some period of our lives, we can run about, make musty, play around, picnic and all that. But now, once we've assumed responsibility, parenthood, is it fair for us to run about? Imagine that queen bee, if it left the hive and says that everybody can run around, they can have picnic, enjoy themselves, go for a holiday. So what will happen to the hive? What will happen to the bee? What will happen to the honey? Everything is lost. If it's self-centered, the whole thing will be lost. So for the benefit of its colony, for the benefit of the hive, it has to make all the sacrifice, leave everything. All the moj, maja, leave it stuck at one place. Now, with that sacrifice, there's so many things that come out. In this colony, you'll find then one group of bees, call them the scout bees, right? For our use and purpose, call them the scout bees, going out. do what? To fetch pollen and to fetch the nectar, right? So nectar and pollen. So I suppose one is used to build its hive. That white substance that you find, like, you know, on a fruit or on, you see it more on a sugar cane. Right? The thing goes and eats it up. So with that, it constructs its home, all the cells. And every cell you go and check is 6 angles. You will find one with 4 angles. So with what precision is doing it, and can you think now, little insect like this, and if you say also, if it just happened like that, you know, it was just a, what they say, what's English word they use? Instinct. You say it's instinct, then where did the instinct came from? Where did that instinct come from? It's easy to push it away to say instinct, right? But where it came from? Each one, right? Each cell is exactly the same. Thousands of cells. And so one is going to fetch that nectar. One is to get that pollen. And the cells are constructed. Right? So the one that is filling the nectar, when it comes to the hive, there's a full security. Security is checking up, all right. Any dirt, any filth, any pollution. Then at the entrance, it's executed. Anyone got any pollen, any dirt, killed on the spot. On the spot, no second chance. Killed. When they kill them, then there's another third group that's in charge of all the bodies, throw it away. See how organized. One is to go and fetch pollen, one nectar, one is security. The one that is on the security, they're checking up very, very, very thoroughly. Right? Now it's coming to fill in. Then those eggs that were laid, then one is the hatchery, one is the nursery. So there is one jamaat that is looking after the hatchery, one looking at the nursery, checking out properly. All the young coming up, all the beginnings, all are coming right. Huh? Right. Then, after all that is done, said and done, then there is another jamaat that is maintaining and regulating the temperature. Right. It's regulating the temperature. It must be too cold. It must be too warm, just maintain it right. So you won't find it in the hive, you won't find anywhere in a cold area or a warm area. You won't find that in the cold area, the hive with the bees is frozen. In the warm area, you won't find it. It's flowing out. Both, see, regulated. Temperature, who showed it? Maintain this temperature. Then they have a scout bee, right? They have a scout bee. That scout bee is going. And that thing, when it detected that here there's a lot of pollen, a lot of nectar, it comes back to the hive and it signals to its people that we go here. And the place that she's signaling can be about 5 or 8 kilometers away. So, so small, like a fly, but it's signaling to the rest of the jamaat. About 8 kilometers away, that's where you're going to get your fodder. And then she will signal through a dance or something, whatever they see. But she will signal that this is the direction, this is where you're going to go. And they'll understand the signal. 8 kilometers away, but they understand the signal. Now this is, right. Then, fi shifa'u linnas, right. The colors of that honey will be different color according to the flower, whatever it's eaten. The colors will be different, right? So sometimes reddish, sometimes brownish, sometimes whitish, sometimes yellow. But according to what pollen and what nectar it's eaten, that will be the color of the honey, right? Now, there's a question now. Fi shifa ulinnas. Is this shifa for everything, or is it a shifa for certain sicknesses? So some say that it's nakira. Nakira comes to show azmat, right? So they say, no, it is a shifa, but it doesn't have to be a shifa for everything. And then there are those that have that yaqeen that it can be used as a shifa for every ailment. Now that's left upon the person's zan and guman with Allah Ta'ala. If you say that, Allah will make it like that. Fi shifa'u linnas. And then one of the most strange things in this whole colony is this, that in this whole bee, on the one side, the nectar that it's giving, that is a shifa. And then if you interfere with the thing, then it's called as poison also. The one side is a shifa, and the one side is a poison. The one sting can be so, so dangerous, it can kill you. If you're allergic to it or something, your body will just bloat, and within hours you can just die. So the one side is shifa, and the one side is a venom. But you see, so complete, so comprehensive. Now, this thing here, in its lifetime, perhaps it will produce about, say, 1/3 of a teaspoon. Its whole lifetime, it will produce so much. Right? But it doesn't look at the insignificance of what it will produce. Right? I must do my job. Each one is thinking, he's doing his job, he's doing... They're all thinking about their own job. So there's two advantages. One is still they free from all layani. Right? No layani. You see bees being layani. Kemsho, haracho, all right. You see that? No layani. They're on the job. So it became proverbial, busy as a bee. Really, when I look at the insects, there's two insects that I envy. My jealousy for them, really, I can't get over it. I must be truthful. One is this ant, and one is the honeybee. Because you don't see them lazing around. On the move. On the move. You don't say, go for the picnic tray, take the basket, go for the picnic. Tomorrow you're going to sleep that side. Third day you're going for a holiday. No. On it. On the case. This is what Allah Pakistan designed us for. So we at it, busy all the time. From the time of birth till death, it is busy. One job is over, second job, third job. So, one is the busyness that they've got. And the second thing is the community spirit they've got. They know the whole life is going to be producing, right? And they may not live to eat it. But do you see the community spirit they've got? The community spirit and the itaat of the Amir. The Amir said, do this, right, we're doing it. They're looking right, not left. Amir Saab said this, all right. By us, we can't have an Amira. They were an Amira. Right? Obviously, the ahkam are different. Our ahkam are different. The laws Allah Pak has got for them is different to our laws. Right? But you see how well organized. So these are two, three things that I'm very envious about them. One is their busyness, right? One is their community spirit. And one is the itaad that they make of the Amir. If man could only learn. Inna fi that, this Allah Pak says, Inna fi dhalika la ayatan li qawmi yatafakkarun. So you have to look into this qudrat, and so many things you learn. In fact, it will shape your life. It will shape your life. That now you became a father, now but you can't play around. Became a mother, you can't play around. For the benefit of this child, that Allah has blessed you. Now leave all your musti. Now look at this. In a few years, this thing will become a mother. What have you put into it? good values or wrong values. You put the right values into the thing will help it for the rest of its life. Now you didn't put the right values in the child, and the child comes across some difficulty, you must blame yourself. You say, no, the husband did this, and he did this, and he did this. But what about yourself? The time for preparing this girl, you had that girl in your custody, the son in your custody, but you didn't take care. Now he developed all wrong habits, wrong things, going through difficulties in his marriage or her marriage. Now it's your problem. It was your time to put those values. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْذَلِ الْأُمُورِ. Then another qudrat then. Allah creates you, and thereafter there are some that are sent up to a despicable age. كَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. An age where after having known, you forget. Just now they told you about it, and then you forgot. Again, they tell you about it, again you forget. Doesn't it happen? After knowing, then you forget. Right? So, a weakness that comes up after that. Now, this weakness, let us understand, that when you see that person in that weak age, in a state, then don't run him down, don't despise him, and don't shy away from making the khidmat. Because today it's his turn, tomorrow it will be your turn. Now you despise him and you abandon him, then tomorrow they'll abandon you as well. The famous story that the father asked the child, what's on the wall? Says, "Wahan par kawwa hai. There's a crow there." So after about an hour or so, the father asked him, "Beta, wo kahan hai? Kya hai?" Son is big, about 25. Kawwa hai. 25, 30. After an hour, he asked him again. Now the son got frustrated. "How many times are you eating my brains?" So the father, as an illustration, he went, pulled out his diary. He said, "See, now you're about 30, right? Then when you're about 2 years of age, 2 or 3 years of age, then on the same wall, there was a crow sitting there, and you asked me this question about 20 times. And each time I showed you, I told you, with the same enthusiasm, beta, the crow hai. And you asked me, abba, kya hai? Beta, kawwa hai. Yeah, just the third time you got frustrated with me. So, understand that today, this person, your father, uncle, someone, has reached old age. Tomorrow you'll be there. Today he needs you. Right? Tomorrow you'll need someone. Today he's missing himself. Tomorrow you may miss yourself. So this is the whole cycle of life just coming around. When you see that, before, when you were small, then there was diapers. Now there's adult diapers. Don't you see that coming up? And when you were small, when they were feeding you, so they had to have an apron, right? What do they call it? Apron. Huh? What? Bib. Now you find an adult bib. When you find that? So when you were a child, then they had to buy you a carriage. They take you around everywhere. So much of pride, my child's, all these different features and all that. Now you're coming to the old age, and it's a wheelchair. So one person asked, "I've done all the khidmat for my mother. Have I fulfilled her right?" So no. Why? Your mother, in your infancy, She was looking forward to your prosperity, coming up strong, living and progressing. Your khidmat wait na eh both hi gaye hashkai ja to haru. It's enough now. If she goes, it's good. See how you thought. She thought that you must live, enjoy, become prosperous. And you felt now she must knock off now. Enough. Now. We made enough khidmat, now she must go away. See your thinking. Your thinking was different and her thinking was different. لِكِي لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْضَ إِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. So when you think about the old age, the whole cycle of old age, then it teaches you a lot of lessons, it teaches you tolerance. That is why the dua that is taught, كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. So it strikes something in your mind. One day I was small, they tolerated me, all my nonsense. You mess up, and what love they could clean you up. What love they could clean you up. Sometimes you get people coming, first time, you know, they got the first child. They say, the child is so cute. So I say, what's cute, so cute about it? So we're bathing the child, and the hose pipe might not be straight. But I tell you the same thing, say for example, your father or someone was sick, and he was spying, hey, what are you doing here? And the child doing the same thing, then you take it as so cute. But if your father did that to you, see the whole attitude changes, the whole thing changes. لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْضَ إِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. Mawlana Usman Kadwa, the old days it was like that. It was an old lady, old man. Then the family volunteered, we'll take him. Whoever was closest to her, after your foreign or your mother, whoever was closest, then they will take her. So they took care of one old lady. They should call her Rasul Bai. And I remember that day, everything was constrained. There wasn't the abundance that you see now. Everything constricted. Hisabs are everything you're taking. So, now this is one woman that volunteered to take care of. But the rest of the house will have a simple food. The specials will be for this lady that they're taking care of. When the whole thing is reversed now. So, there'll be about 4 or 5 specials. And they will reserve it for this one that they're taking care of. In the meanwhile, some guests had just come in. So they took her food for her to eat. So, like I say, now when they come of that age, sometimes they can't function so well. So she saw the food. She said, Amma, who bali varsha? What type of food is this? What's the good in this food? Anyway, she ate. The daughter-in-law, Usman's mother now, daughter-in-law, whatever connection she must have been, she didn't say anything. She took all the pains to make the 5-6 dishes specially for her. The rest of the house will eat one simple khari khichdi. And not even half an hour passed, the guests are still there. Not even half an hour passed. Now, at that age, she lost control of her self, right? And she was constructed in half a day, she missed the whole bed. Whole bed, imagine. Just now everything was cleaned, the guests are here, and she missed the whole thing. So this same Appa, this Mausman's mother, with all the love and muhabbat, she cleaned her, washed the bread, said, put her back. So one of the guests exclaimed, you're taking so much of pains for this 1 year, and you're not getting any type of compliments. In fact, you're getting shouted. So, what's the need for taking this type of pains? So, all her response was, "I doha manasya." It's an old woman, and she's got no other refuge. and no other person to complain to. And if she doesn't complain to us, then who she'll complain to? But you see the love that care. Now for that you'll get so much of du'as. Then you get a person like Muslim coming up. There will be prosperity in the family. One person that you look to, take took care of is prosperity. To me, to look after these type of things, especially when a person is in desperation, looking after, is better than hundreds of umrahs and nafil hajj. Have you got money? Still go make umrah. I don't say don't do it, but priorities. This is the first priority. Look after all these things here. And then this is better than hundreds and hundreds of umrah. You hear the story of Uwais Qarni, rahmatullahi. In the lifetime of Nabi Sallam, who won't want to come and see him? They go for umrah, ziyarat, and everyone should do it. He's got the time of Nabi Sallam. Who won't want to go and visit Nabi Sallam? So he writes up to Nabi Sallam, this is my position. Mother is ailing, what do I do? Go look after your mother. And no frown on the face, the instruction of Nabi Sallam. Allah Pak exalted him to such a level that Nabi Sallam advised the senior Sahaba, this Uwais Qarni will come, then you take his du'as. Ask him for du'a maghfirat. See how Allah Pak exalted him. So this, what is needed at that time? What type of khidmat is needed at that time? That is the priority. To enjoy ice cream is the favor of Allah Ta'ala. You enjoy the favor of Allah, you make sugar, is good, isn't it? But at that time, say for example, that time someone is dying of hunger. So is that the right thing now to go and enjoy ice cream? Say, I'm enjoying the favor of Allah Ta'ala. It's mustahab to enjoy the favor. But the man is dying of hunger. So what's the more important thing at that time? So what's most important to see that you take you take care of that. In a case, some people came here, the madrasa, the family of the people, all in cry, all in tears. Both the spouses earning big money, very big money. So they left their mother, ailing mother, to a caregiver. Everything state of the art, good caregiver and all that. And both of them gone for Umrah. Now this was around the December time. So December time, everyone wants to celebrate. So the caregiver also had to celebrate. Celebrate came in a Monday morning to find a decomposed, smelling body. Body is turned black and blue, decomposed, or stench all around. She came after 3 days to see this. Now that doctor that left his mother in this state, when he heard this, he can't stop crying. This is what happened to my mother, that's the last. So whoever tells you, wife, whoever tells you, it's your mother, understand your duty. Allah Pak says, Ar-Rijalu Qawwamun. Allah Pak has given you a seniority, some position, for you to see that you're managing the woman correctly. They will say things, they will request things, but what is to be done at that time? See that that's done, it's discharged. جَعَلَكُمْ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنَا Then, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَكُمْ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنَا Your homes for your tranquility. Sakan can also mean tranquility. Right? Like how you got in the Quran Sharif. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ What do you mean? Tranquility. peace, they'll find comfort, they'll find nice. So your homes, Allah Ta'ala has built for your comfort, for your ease. So one thing in building the home is to understand that that home is not a dream. We think it is my dream home. The dream home is a qabr. That's a dream home. Right? Here is just to see that your needs are fulfilled. The dream home is the qabr hereafter. If you are designing a home as a dream home, then that thing ends up to be a museum. It's a museum that nobody can enjoy. Children can't run around. They can't play around the home because if they're touching this, it's breaking. That thing is going to break. That thing is fragile, it's like this. So they don't enjoy it. Why? Because you made it into a dream home, made it into a museum. And Allah is saying that home is supposed to be a place where you will get peace. So it's designed in such a way that you find yourself at peace. Not worried about the aesthetics so much, not worried about the look so much. I don't see it must look ugly, but that's not the main thing of the aesthetics, how it looks. That's not the main thing. The main thing is that home has it got a dimension of peace and tranquility. That's the need of the home, right? So how to make that home a home of peace, a home of love? How do you make it? That's what you need to understand. One is to see that it's a simple home. It's a Muslim home. A simple home and a Muslim home. I explained this to that Ghulam Khan, architect, that make it a Muslim home. See, we don't have to be consumed with the kuffar, their styles. You can't get overwhelmed with that. They got an open plan. So I said, if they're doing it, must do it. But they're not the guide, they're not the leaders. They're living in filth. And the day and night is living, they live in filth. They don't know park, not park, they don't know anything about that. So you can't take them as your guide. Their whole life is about just their self. So you can't take them as your guide. We are looking at a family, parents, children, everybody we're looking at. And they is just about themselves. They're self-centered. Now they become so self-centered now that they against even marriage. So if they are living with a woman, it's just a convenience living. No marriage, just living together. So that's their life. Very close to animals. And you are living as a human being. Human being is what? That you are a comfort for others and comfort for yourself. You're making life comfortable for others, your near and your dear ones, for everybody. First them, then others. And for yourself. So they got an open plan. Now that open plan, what it means, as you enter the home, so you can see that man's wife, his daughter can see you. So it's a zina plan. It's not an open plan. It's a zina plan. You're sitting in the lounge looking at his daughter. His son is looking at your wife. So what I say, what is this? Is this a home? Or this is a zoo? Like an animal zoo. Like animal, everything's free for everybody. Oh, it's open for everybody. So it became like a zoo. It's not a home. It's a zoo now. Because everything is open for everybody. A human habitat is something else. An animal habitat is something else. Allah Pak has exalted you to being ashraful makhlukat. Today, when I said, Lagat karramna bani Adam, exalted you. And then you reduce yourself to the level of an animal. That's right. When I explained that to Ghulam Bhai, now Ghulam Bhai says, when I get a client at MC, this is a Muslim home. This is how it's supposed to be designed. Men's quarters, women's quarters. So if you've got guests now, then how to make them comfortable? Understand, you're building a house, how to make that men comfortable. So you have a lounge for men, where you can afford it, and a lounge for women. And the men's lounge have an adjoining toilet. Because if a guest comes to your house, this is what he'll want. He'll want to be fed, or he'll want a toilet. Now be more practical. So you made that facility. He came, and he's not invading anybody's privacy, because that's adjoining his lounge. So he's gone toilet, he ate, he's comfortable, he's relaxed. He needs to leave, he'll leave. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim dhayfa. Now this thing that iman, the requisite of iman is to honor your guest. That aesthetic and that beauty is not a requisite of iman. Requisite of iman is to respect the guest. See that he's comfortable, he's relaxed. Sometimes he wants to stay over in your house. Let him stay. That was the original Muslim house. He had to stay over. He stayed. Now you make it so difficult for him that he'll have to book in a hotel. One man was here just now, some days back. So he came for a wedding. Right? They made it so difficult that the old man, I think over 80, he had to book into a hotel. He can't live in his children's home, grandchildren's home, he can't live. Go live in a hotel. So you make that home, that lifestyle so difficult, where everybody was aspire to look after that old. Nobody is interested. It's just self-centered. So that man now has to go and book in a hotel. What a miserable life. Do you call this life? Ja'ala lakum min buyutikum sakana. So the Quran, the Hadith saying, respect the guest. If it's not your father, it's your grandfather. But the respect that you're supposed to show your father, show your grandfather. Ja'ala lakum min buyutikum sakana. One thing that will bring that tranquility and peace is make it like this, design it properly for the guest as well. Number two, the actual happiness in the house is when you have Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul in that house. One mullah comes here. So he tells me that his daughter is about 12 years of age. So she called him aside, said, "Abba, tell you the dream that I saw." "What happened?" "So I saw the knock on the door. I opened, I saw it was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." So then we called him inside, he sat in the lounge. We asked him to make dua, he made dua. So I said, "It's easy. You all are making talim in the house and read Durood Sharif and make zikr. That's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Reading about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as though you got Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your home, making Durood Sharif, Zikr, Talib. So this is the teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When you're emulating and conducting his teaching, you got Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your home. Okay. So you're getting Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's dua, you're reading about him, children are listening, making Zikr. Right? So after a period of time, their minds are getting conditioned accordingly. What they're reading, that's what they were discussing, that's what they were talking about, how should we shape our home. So now in this home here, there'll be love, there'll be happiness, there'll be comfort, there'll be fulfillment. Otherwise, if you don't do this, then it will become like what's happening today. You put up a very good home, but half the time you're going and eating out. Eating out, going here, there, and all. So what happened to the house? What use? You paid 10 million for that thing? 5 million is getting wasted, 5 million is using it. So what's the use? Kafayda wa. So if the house is done well, like I say, it's a Muslim home, making zikr, Quran Sharif, namaz, all that. Then you don't see the need to go around here, London, here, there, everywhere. There's a one on sports now, run to Japan. Another one tournament in Portugal that run there. You don't see the need for that, because you're getting that fulfillment, that appeasement, that happiness in the house. When you're getting everything in the house, then is there a need to run? If you're not happy in the house, then there'll be a need to run everywhere. And the happiness will be when, proportionate to how much you made Nabi Sam happy. You made Nabi Sam happy, your house will be happy. You made Allah Ta'ala happy, your house will be happy. And if you displeased Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then there can't be happiness in the house. Then you look for imaginary happiness. Here, there, everywhere, it's imaginary. It's not happiness. See that? Ja'alakum biyutikum sakana. So understand now that what will bring that happiness in the house? These are the things that you have to bring to see that this happiness that prevails in the house. This is all Surah Nahl. It was all Tawfiq.
Mawlana Ahmad Barak is requested to come to the front and make dua.
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم لك الحمد بما هديتنا ولك الحمد بما أكرمتنا ولك الحمد بما سترتنا ولك الحمد بالقرآن ولك الحمد بالإسلام ولك الحمد بالأهل والمال ولك الحمد بالمعافاة ولك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا اللهم لك الحمد كالذي تقول خيرا مما نقول اللهم لك الحمد شكرا ولك المن فضلا اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا مولانا محمد اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا مولانا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وصل على سيدنا وحبيبنا مولانا محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا راد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم إن قلوبنا ونواصينا وجوارحنا بيدك لم تملكنا منها شيئا فإذا فعلت ذلك بنا فكن أنت ولينا واهدنا إلى سواء السبيل اللهم لا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وارض عنا وتقبل منا وأدخلنا الجنة ونجنا من النار وأصلح لنا شأننا كله يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا كريم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأحبابنا ولأقاربنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها دقها وجلها أولها وآخرها علانيتها وسرها اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها يا الله you forgive all our sins يا الله يا الله you forgive every sin of ours يا الله the sin of every limb يا الله the sin of our eyes of our ears of our tongues of our hands of our legs of our minds of our hearts يا الله the sins that we know of يا الله and the sins that we don't know of يا الله those that we did intentionally and those that we did unintentionally يا الله those that we think them to be sins and those that we don't think them to be sins يا الله يا الله you forgive every sin of ours يا الله يا الله you keep us far away from sin يا الله يا الله you purify our hearts يا الله يا الله our hearts are filthy with every type of filth يا الله Ya Allah, you purify our hearts, Ya Allah, from every evil quality, Ya Allah. Remove all the evil qualities from our heart, Ya Allah, and fill it with good qualities, Ya Allah. Bless us with pure and clean hearts, Ya Allah. Hearts that are reserved for you, Ya Allah, for your love, Ya Allah. the love of your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the love of those things that you want us to love, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you always keep us in your pleasure, Ya Allah. Let us do those things, Ya Allah, that will earn your pleasure, Ya Allah. And save us from all those things that will earn your displeasure, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep us far away from sin, Ya Allah. And keep us far away from all those things, Ya Allah, that are displeasing to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us love those things that are pleasing to you and hate those things that are displeasing to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive us, forgive our parents, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive our asatiza and our mashayikh, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who have done any good to us, Ya Allah, you reward them with the best of rewards, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our parents, Ya Allah, those of them that are living, Ya Allah, give them long life with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us be a coolness to their eyes, Ya Allah. Let us be of service to them, Ya Allah. Let us regard it to be an honor to serve them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, and those that have passed away, you grant them the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make the qabrs, Ya Allah, gardens of Jannat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who have benefited us, Ya Allah, in terms of our deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless them, Ya Allah. Those that are living, Ya Allah, you bless them with barakat in their health, in their wealth, in barakat in everything, Ya Allah. Barakat in their families, Ya Allah. And those that have passed away, Ya Allah, you grant them the highest of stages in Jannat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah, is passing, Ya Allah. Whatever we are doing, Ya Allah, is only through your grace, Ya Allah. Accept it, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive us for not making qadr of this month, Ya Allah. Grant us the tawfiq to make qadr, Ya Allah, of every moment, Ya Allah. The last 10 days is coming, Ya Allah. Last 10 nights, Ya Allah. Allow us to make qadr of every moment, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, allow us to use our time correctly, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let it be a means of us getting your closeness, Ya Allah. Bless us with your muhabbat, Ya Allah, with your ma'rifat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless us with ikhlas in everything that we do, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you accept us and accept our progenies till the day of Qiyamah for your deen, Ya Allah. With ikhlas, Ya Allah, and according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, let every action of ours be according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you bless us, Ya Allah, and bless our progenies, Ya Allah, with the ilm of nubuwwat, Ya Allah, with the nur of nubuwwat, Ya Allah, with the fikr of nubuwwat, Ya Allah, let us understand the mansha of nubuwwat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless us, Ya Allah, to be totally in the sunnah, to live our lives according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, let Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be happy with us, Ya Allah. On the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah, bless us with the drink from Hawdhi Kothar, Ya Allah, from the mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, in Jannatul Firdaus, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless us with the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد يا الله. يا الله, we heard the hadith regarding passing away in Medina Munawwara. Ya Allah, we are not fit to pass away in that Mubarak place, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, but we are asking you, Allah. Ya Allah, you bless us with mouth in Medina Munawwara or in any other place, Ya Allah, according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a manner that is pleasing to you, Ya Allah, and pleasing to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, the ummah is suffering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you remove the suffering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove the suffering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there is no one for the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you be there for the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bring the ummah back onto deen, Ya Allah. Allahumma ruddana wa rudda al-muslimina ila deenika raddan jameela. Allahumma ahdi ummata sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma arham ummata sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma aslih ummata sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you guide the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you rectify and correct the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bring the ummah back onto your deen, Ya Allah. Bring it back onto that which is pleasing to you, Ya Allah, and pleasing to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you remove the suffering of all those that are in any type of difficulty, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the orphans, the widows, Ya Allah, of the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are in any type of difficulty and any type of problems, Ya Allah, you remove their problems, Ya Allah. Those that are sick, Ya Allah, you grant them shifa kamil, ajil, daim, mustamir, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those that have passed away, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make them maghfirat, Ya Allah, and grant them jannatul firdaus, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, any person who's any type of difficulty, Ya Allah, you remove that difficulty, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adhaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Antal musta'an wa 'alayka al-balagh, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'aliyyil 'azhim. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiyul 'alim, wa tub 'alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa mawlana Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amin. Bi rahmatika ya rahmal alamin.